Is it okay to bring up COVID at any point in this?
Yeah,
Okay.
that's fine. It was good. It really was. It's just what I've found is that I get out of breath. Like at any point while we're talking, if it feels like I'm like,
Yours is COVID related, mine is smoking related. All
exactly.
right. Wait, should we come up with something like stupid and fun for our outtake?
Like this.
You could say
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights. I was going to ask you a question about, like, if there were a songwriting Olympics, what songwriter currently working would you want to represent the U.S.?
Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome, everybody.
This is the episode that we almost thought wouldn't happen.
I'm cursed. If I do anything related to Danny Cardona or Leo Cardona, something technology-wise will malfunction.
This is the latest we've recorded on a Sunday. This is like, I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, this is almost sleep time for Colton.
Yeah, this is us at our best for sure. I definitely haven't been drinking from a young time in this day.
I just have eaten an irresponsible amount of ribs. So people, if you're just listening to this show, you don't know who we are. This is the level of professionalism you're dealing with. We are ready to go. We're here to talk about The Deer Hunter.
Yes, we are.
Not the film with Robert De Niro.
That's true. And not the band called Deer Hunter.
Yeah, we have a lot to unpack with this because there are... I actually, right away, I'm going to say, if you listen to the previous episode, which was Streetlight Manifesto, which, listen to the episode, that was pretty great. And if you're a Streetlight Manifesto
with you.
Fan, you're probably not listening anymore. I'm sorry.
I might have been the thing that reeled them back in. Because
I
had good things to say. You had bad things to say.
I think I had some good things to say. I can't remember what they were.
3.5 out of 10.
With scores, that totally makes sense. Anywho, by the end of that episode, I had said something to the effect of, oh, The Deer Hunter, I did sound for them, and they were great. I'm certain that they are very nice people, but I had to, like, I
Never
was, like, kind of
happened.
going through.
Yeah.
I was looking at pictures of them again. I was like, that wasn't them. There's no way. There
it
are
was
too
probably...
many bands with deer in their name.
That's very true.
Because there is... Deer Hunter. There is the Deer Hunter with the D-E-A-R. There
Deer in the
is
headlights.
Deer in the Headlights, I'm almost certain, although I'm never going to speak with certainty again at the story, I'm almost certain it was Deer in the Headlights, both of which were signed to Equal Vision Records at one point or another, which might have been the confusion. But there's also Deer Hoof, I think, or Deer Haven.
Yeah, there's Deer Tick, which is a band that is actually very influential to me and my own writing style.
Just bask in the glory of all the deer bands there could be.
Yeah. D-E-A-R or D-E-E-R.
That's right. Just, and I've, but the Deer in the Headlights, I'm just going to, for the sake of the show, say I'm almost certain it was them. There was a band with deer in their name that I knew that I liked. And I did sound for them at UC Santa Barbara for an afternoon show we put on for students. Nothing worked. Everything was broken. I was by myself. And I told them, this happens with bands I love. I'm really sorry. And they all said something to the effect of, hey, man, it's fine. It's an afternoon show. We're having fun.
Punk rock.
Yeah. And it was very nice. They're very great. So band with deer in the name. Thank you. Good Lord. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you? How are you? Because now we haven't talked to each other via Zoom for about a month.
We are officially walking the tightrope of recording an episode, and it will be the next episode to come out. There will no longer be a month-long lag because I was completely ready to record this episode 2 weeks ago, and then I got the vid.
He got the vid, and I was not his co.
There's no There's no, luckily nobody was my COVID in heaven. I'm not sure if I want to popularize the vid. I don't know if I want to make it hit, but
I think it was famous last words. We had the conversation the day before I got a text from your wife saying that you have COVID. Mm-hmm. You and I talked on the phone that night.
We always have at least one phone call talk before an episode where we basically just say what we're going to.
We run our notes by each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I told you, hey, I think we should take a month off after our next two episodes. Because after our next two episodes, let's take a month off. And then we can just have, when we record an episode, that's the episode that gets released next.
Yeah.
And you said, well, I'm a little concerned about that because who knows what might happen. And I woke up the next morning and had a text saying, hey, Colton's in isolation.
Weirdly enough, I had a lot of good ideas for songs while I was in isolation. My guitar was with me. I wrote like two new songs. I forgot both and I didn't record them. So that's what vid did. I'm almost certain they were bangers and I'll never remember what they were.
So you had a high fever?
I don't know if I did. I started thinking, ooh, this is good. And then I think I like wrote down randomly two lines, like a couplet that's just in my notes somewhere. I have no melody that goes to it. It doesn't sound good reading it.
But well, the real downside behind all of this is I thought maybe I would have this week off, and I did not. It turned into like about as much of a cramming situation as you could possibly have.
So we will be talking about, for people who are new to the show, we are doing our opening talk here. But when we get after the break into our official band discussion, we're going to talk about acts 1 through 5. Yeah. I'm not sure. Is there a name? I know it's like the Bag Online Adventures of Cody and Cambria. I'm not sure what the name for.
I'm pretty sure the title is The Deer Hunter.
That's the name of the sort of the suite that he has.
Yeah. All of these are part of the story of the Deer Hunter or
got it.
Hunter Terry.
What I think is great about this upcoming discussion is I think you are much more well-versed in the story of the Deer Hunter. I almost purposefully avoided anything about the story.
Which
I think that will be
Danny Danko, who's part of our sister podcast, The Chit Show.
Chit Show.
Colton probably should have paid more attention to the storyline and I should have paid more attention to the music. It is a very awkward flip that occurred here. But like I said before, technical difficulties.
No, I think what's great about this is, I think you and I both want to talk a little bit in this first little part about like now having been, I think a lot of the bands we did recently have had a lot of concept records. And like, we've already talked about Coheed. I mean, I remember we talked about the Who couldn't write a record that wasn't a concept record for a period of time.
Yeah.
We literally just talked about Vendetta Red, right? Which mm-hmm. Sisters of the Red Death. And now we have these five records that are very much like Coheed and Cambria, all part of this kind of bigger story.
Yeah.
I think what'll be great about this talk is trying to think about it on these two different levels, because that's always, just to kind of get the vibe for you here, that's always my issue now with these like kind of larger narrative projects, right, that come mm-hmm. out, is I have such a devotion to the song as a text and like as a like piece of art, like the song itself. I love albums, but mm-hmm. I think more recently I've gotten much more interested in the crafting of a song that works and connects and just is like this really compelling piece of art. And I sometimes find with bands that are devoted to narrative projects mm-hmm. like this, I don't always think it works on the song level when it's really working on the narrative level.
I definitely agree with that, but it feels like it's a coming of age thing. And even when we're talking about the Deer Hunter, they have albums that are separate from the storyline, but right. There are certain bands that typically write song for song. It's only writing to the narrative of this particular song, mm-hmm. but it feels like every band, it's like their bar mitzvah is to write a concept album. And I don't think you and I are separate from that. We both have kind of like taken our stabs at that.
I've never done a concept out, and I guess
you here, wanted to.
This is a discussion that you and I have had before in this podcast. So if you're listening to this, if you're a longtime listener, we have had talks before about concept records.
Coheed, our, the Decemberists.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. I think Decemberists was a maybe one of the first times we really talked about it. Mm-hmm. And I think there, and I think this will add a new element to it, but we were unpacking this idea of there's like the concept record, and then there is the sort of narrative record, right? Which is like, I think there's also the term like the rock opera, right? That the mm-hmm. Who christened. It's, I find most records and records I love, I find to be concept records where it's not about a story as much as it is. There's something about the songs that bind them together.
Would you say concept or thematic? Because I think there's a stark difference between concept and thematic. Thematic, you can utilize that as instrumentally. You can utilize it as just tones coming through, maybe a little a callback to a particular musical section. Concept to me strikes me more as storyline.
See, I guess I don't think of it that way. To me, concept, maybe a good example is so like Thrice, right? When they did mm-hmm. those four EPs, right? With the four different elements. I mean,
the
I think
other
bands.
Index. Yeah.
Thank you for that. I couldn't remember the term. Yeah. That to me is a concept project. There's no like, it's not like the character Wind. Right.
That's interesting. Okay, so we have to work on our nomenclature for this, because to me, I would view that more as a thematic element. I don't know if I'm right.
I don't either. I might just be semantics. But I think what we both, even for you calling it different things, I think what we both identify is most records that we love, that we both, and I'm saying we as in you and I, mm-hmm. like, think are these like really well done things, it's because the songs are working cohesively towards something.
Part
right?
of the whole. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And whatever that something is, if it's a sort of larger theme, I mean, we talked about it with bands like Tool, right? We talked about it where I think Tool is a great band for this, where, I mean, the sound doesn't really evolve necessarily, but
never has.
Right. But it's the questions that the band has, right? And different things that what they're trying to do with that sound, that's what evolves. And it's always different. And that's the thing I really appreciate about a band like them. Even with a band like the Decemberists, where as narrative based as they are, I think they've really truly only done one quote unquote rock opera, right?
Yeah.
Right. The Hazards of Love. Thank God, by the way, they haven't done more than that.
And to be fair, that album actually functions a lot better to me once I understood the storyline.
Yeah, which I think we both identified as interesting, but also kind of a hindrance.
But I mean, without that storyline, the music is kind of garbage to me. It doesn't come across. Once I understood the plot line behind everything, that's when the album kind of gained some momentum for me.
And that's where, here's what I want to ask you. So we have that, right? We have thinking about records as concepts or thematic ties, right? That put mm-hmm. a record together. And on the other side, we have this like really narrative focus, more along the veins of the rock opera, more of like the kind of like musical libretto, whatever you want to call it. But the other thing that I think songwriting has always had is like singular songs telling a story. Right.
Which the Decemberists were really good at before they did Hazards of Love. Yeah,
I totally agree with that. I think, and it's funny, I was thinking, what is my favorite? Like, if I had to pick right now, number one of like narrative storytelling, I mean, country, right? And folk music, they have, to me, some of the best, right?
Oh, dude, I just listened to Johnny Cash's A Boy Named Sue. That's a perfect song.
Streets of Laredo.
Okay.
I love Streets of Laredo. I think Pancho and Lefty, though, that's number one. Pancho and Lefty by Townes Van Zandt is, I don't know. And
I hope it's playing in the background right now, because I can't recall it off the top of my head.
Underneath your prayers tonight and say a few. Oh man. So, and here's, I think, this is what I want to talk to you about when we get into the Deer Hunter and work through, right? Because it's something I want to work through for myself.
Literally both of us have to work through it. This is about as vulnerable as you and I have ever been.
We can't afford therapists, so we just talk to each other and then share it with everyone. I find
thanks Danny
It's things that I took issue with, Danny. With Coheed, right? And I think Coheed's going to be a big window. In fact, my theory is the Deer Hunter is what happens when you take Coheed, the Decemberists, and Panic at the Disco, and you put them in a blender.
Can I throw one more ingredient in there?
Throw one more in.
Thrice.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Circus Survive, but I think Thrice is I'll take Thrice.
There are plenty of times where they sound very Circa, but Thrice, I think, fits into the like kind of concept heavy and also tonality wise. I hear a lot of that.
But so knowing that's the case, like if they have the DNA of so many bands that we like, right, mm-hmm. and are listen to, Coheed is my way into this. And my problem with Coheed as I've gotten older and as Coheed has gotten older is I've found people to be, and I've found Coheed to be more interested in telling this story and their songs to be these really kind of plot based, and everything is about lore and everything is about like who characters are. And yeah. at different points, I'm like, man, this song is not good. Like it's telling this part of the story. And I'm like, man, this song sucks. Like, I wish you were writing better songs. I don't care about this story.
There's a fairness to that, but I have to say over the last month, which is totally not true, of listening to the Deer Hunter, mm-hmm. I started getting a little more fascinated by the songs because of the storyline. And not saying that the storyline is, you know, Hemingway, just it did create this different way for my ears to see it.
And I am so, like, when I first was into Coheed, that was, and I know I've talked about this on the pod before, like, the excitement of, like, when you don't know what the story is, and, like, people are in the, like, the Cobalt and Calcium fan site, figuring out what songs mean. Like, I've seen that with the Deer Hunter, like, going on to, like, the Reddit and that.
I've read some cool posts, some cool blogs.
Like, man, like, live forever and be happy. Like, that's great. I think that's why, again, I like this conversation, because I think you and I are taking totally different angles in, because I am past the part of my life where that kind of stuff really interests me. Like, to me, it's something I see in culture where, like with TV shows, movies. I mean, I teach literature, right? And I see it when I teach literature to my students, where we are all so plot based and we are all so into story that I'm always trying to get them to consider the deeper kind of significance, the themes, like the why, right? And it's hard sometimes to get them to think beyond what the surface is. And that sometimes is my issue with narrative stuff, is it gets so taken up with the story part of it that I'm also like, what does this song mean? What is it that it's, you know, getting across in a kind of deeper way? Like, how is it teaching us something about being alive? And I think it's there. Like, there are some great songs I know we're going to talk about.
I don't know. I kind of lost my train of thought there. I also got distracted by a pop-up.
I understand that there are, you know, elements of the plot. I'm sure, I don't know, it's very hard for me to know what the plot is. I think there are elements of the plot that are trying to say something bigger, and I can understand it's like it really just feels like this like huge epic that is also this very small intimate story of like this one person.
He was talking about how initially when he was in, what's the name of the band he was in before
The Receiving End of Sirens,
when he was coming out of that, the initial approach for the Deer Hunter was going to be a hyper personal concept, and he ended off bailing on that. And he kind of went the direction of like, I want to create more of a story to where I can put parts of me in it, but I don't want it to be just so inundated by my own personal experience. If no matter what you write, it's coming from experience. So I like the fact that he was kind of creating a story that isn't just him, because if you really listen to the grandiose side and the romantic side of the entire story, it probably wouldn't reach these depths if it was just him talking about a girl that he's upset about.
I don't know if I agree with it though. I can understand that. And I've actually heard other people I really respect have something similar to say. I remember, I think Conor O'Brien,
probably more articulate too.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think he did a good job with it.
Thanks, man.
I'm going to paraphrase out of this. I'm going to paraphrase what Conor O'Brien said. It was something to the effect of, if you're writing a song, it should be to be able to touch on the experiences for other people to recognize. Like, if you're not doing that, it's a waste of time. Yeah. And it's funny enough, growing up, Conor Oberst was one of the guys where I felt like I was learning something different from him. and it was that emo singer songwriter wave of like the 2000s was all about like diary like lyrics, right? Mm-hmm. That were very personal. And that's where I think in my songwriting, I have tried to find ways to kind of work through things that I'm thinking about and that. But it's also like anything else about like inventing, right? And pulling from things. But that balance is really tricky. I know you and I have both had to deal with it. I think anyone who's created art has had to deal with how much of themselves to put in. But I don't know if, I guess every time there is a band, especially a band from this kind of emo 2000 scene that has a concept record, it's very, I mean, it's with Coheed, Say Anything, right? Israel Boy. Mm-hmm. The Deer Hunter, it's always these coded things, right? It's the idea of like, it's this main character, it's not me, it's this other person. At least in this case, the character's not name isn't Casey, because with Claudio, literally the name is Claudio, and that's always my Cody. I don't know, that story to me sometimes is such a joke, because I'm like, it's just Claudio.
And that's where it's like there's a little bit of a misbalance of telling your own personal story as opposed to storytelling. I think storytelling, like Aesop's Fables, like you can actually get a big message from it.
Right.
The difficulty behind when you utilize it in a music spectrum, because I think I was telling you the other day, I said I wouldn't use those words, but I told you the other day, like with Tchaikovsky, his music is essentially written for a story. You got Swan Lake, you got The Nutcracker, you got Sleeping Beauty, mm-hmm. but there's no vocals on it. There's no lyrics to completely guide it. He wrote it kind of like the emotional sway that music can have. And then you all of a sudden follow that up with, you know, something like, oh my God, how am I forgetting the name of Tommy?
Yeah.
You know, to where Tommy is a little more specific. And this is where you start diving into dangerous territory towards like, are you telling a real story or is it just like trying to fit pieces together?
And I think that's where, if we want to kind of close this discussion, maybe so we can take our break, mm-hmm. where I land with this is, I think if you are most interested in telling a story, like if I am, like if I have this story, I want to get out to other people. This is a Colton opinion, obviously, right?
Yeah.
To write a record, like a record is the absolute worst way to do that. Like, like to write it's, like a multi-album story, to me, if you're most interested in the story, I can't think of a worse way to get a story across, because like an actual like story and plotting, if you're using it as like a loose string of concepts and it helps you to write things, and there is a kind of like each record represents a vibe that you're aiming for and you're able to write within that, that's different, right? That's concept. That's, but if you're interested in like the intricacy of plot and what drives people to be moved by story, do anything other than write narrative out, because it has worked. I think it's worked zero times where someone has wanted to write a compelling story and do it in a concept record. There are great concept records, but 0% of the time have I, you know, It's just not what the medium is for.
The Haves Have Not by Deer Hunter. The Deer Hunter, sorry. That's a song where I'm like, this needs a stage performance. This cannot be by itself. I don't know if it's just me, but the way it's conducted, it sounds like, I mean, I love musicals. I know you love musicals too.
I love musicals. We have gone to see Wicked together.
Yes, we did.
Everyone.
I'm looking forward to Wicked's coming out. Ariana Grande.
I am very interested in the Wicked musical. I don't think I can say that to any other friend in my life where I'm like, yeah, we've seen. Was that the night we saw Jessica Simpson driving on the freeway?
Yes, when we were driving and you were like, dude, I'm sitting on the right side of the car. I'm sitting on passenger side and Colton's like, shout out Jessica. And I'm like, I'm not going to do shit. It might be her, but I'm not going to be that. And Colton leaned over, fucking rolled the window down. Jessica, and whether it was her or not, that poor lady seemed terrified.
And this is like my awful impulse. I like to think I've lost it from when I was young. Then again, I haven't seen a celebrity in a long time. But also, if people know me, they know I think I see celebrities all the time, and I rarely do. Likely, that was some poor woman driving. And if it was Jessica Simpson, also poor woman. Sorry,
I was I was really proud of you though, because that was a moment where I was like, damn, Colton's fearless. I think all the fear of going, like, if it is Jessica Simpson, I don't want to look like an asshole. Colton's like, I'll do it.
I don't have that same issue. And with that, everybody, we're going to let the ad break go.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseball Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Yo.
Yo. Yo. Yo. Yo, yo, yo. Yo. I do any and everything you want to.
There we go. There's our Usher drop.
Badass señorita, don't get it, chicks. You know me. It's all good. That was gonna be my friends and I had a sixth grade talent show dream of doing Usher that never came to fruition. Thank God.
Oh man,
I know. Actually, what you did for your talent show.
The Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it?
You
I
remember
wanted
that.
I remember you telling me that.
Oh,
I remember everything you tell me.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome. was it I Want It That Way? What was the song?
It probably was I Want It That Way.
What was your avatar? Which Backstreet Boy were you're taking over for?
Probably Brian. Brian was the one that I always identified with. He had a little bit of a lower register.
See, I think I could
I can't
do
recall
the,
any of his
I could do the did. Kevin part, and I came to find out later that my now wife was a Backstreet Boy fan, not an NSYNC fan. And Kevin, who I believe was the tall, older one, was the one she liked. It was fate.
You know,
I'm pretty
what?
Sure
I
he's
see
the,
a little bit of Kevin in your face right now.
I have Kevin vibes. I have the, I'm too old for this. Like, it's late. Let's get out of here. Now I can see that we're falling apart. Oh. Welcome back. If we're not, are we back? We're back.
We're okay. Totally back.
What's happening?
Well, actually, we're Backstreet. Yeah.
All right.
Please, everybody, take our musical opinion seriously.
Again, the older I get, the less I care. And it's the gift of age.
That's a true Kevin.
It's the most freeing thing where in high school, right, everything you like defines who you are as a person. And so it's so like, I don't like them. I like this. And I totally get that. Like, when people go through that phase, I'm like, do it. Your life is so hard. And as I get older, I'm like, you know what? It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't
matter.
And like,
so
I used
we started to, like, a podcast where we try to give like values to all this music.
We try to just, hey, everybody. It's all good. It's all, but it also, welcome back.
Welcome
it's
back.
Not all great.
Yeah. So we got a request quite a while ago. I want to say late last year, around October. What's today's date?
Today's August 11th.
August 11th. So it took damn near a year, but we were very busy, but on the plus side, today's August 11th. This next episode is going to come out, or this episode that we're recording currently will come out in 2 weeks.
But by the way, it's like you and I are both super excited. Like 2 weeks away, that is, it's going to be so dated.
I don't care. Sports talk is coming back.
Hey,
sports
do we want to talk about the Olympics? Let's.
I kind of do. That Steph Curry shot was incredible.
I was just watching the women's gold medal game this morning.
Did you watch the relay? The women's relay?
I know. I was, because I had the vid, I got out of a lot of Olympics watching, but I did watch some things.
The women's relay was like 2 days ago. And now this is a little closer to being up to date, but it cracked me up because the USA women's team was so far ahead that they just started filming the people, everybody, the big group behind them going like, well, now all we're interested is, all we're interested in is silver and bronze. It was like 30 meters. They were ahead by like 30 meters. It was insane.
Yeah, I have to watch volleyball because I love volleyball anyway. I
gotta say, I'm amazed that that's not a bigger sport.
Volleyball is such a great professional sport,
and it totally comes across on television. Mm-hmm. It comes across great. It's very, very entertaining.
If anyone is at all into anime, Haikyuu is the best anime that I know of, and it's all about volleyball. And they also have, for a future episode, Rob, we got to do anime opening songs. There's a lot of great ones to do.
Well, probably my favorite anime is Gantz, which
Gantz is good.
Yeah, I was really big on that one.
Also, but a very good opening song.
Yes.
This is what happens when we record late. You and I are like, we are.
Yeah. Yeah. For anybody listening, like, this is even
who
closer.
Who knows what's going to get into this? I don't think any of that's going to go in the episode. But
all of this is there. I'll try notes to find those.
I don't think it's great.
All right. The Deer Hunter is an American progressive rock band originating in Providence, Rhode Island, that tiny, tiny state that is neither a road or an island. I have to bring that up every time I read it.
So this is from the Wikipedia page that you're reading from, correct?
No, this is all off of memory.
It's Wikipedia.
It began as a side project of Casey Crescenzo when he was a member of the receiving end of Sirens. Before becoming the band, hold on, my memory is going wrong. I'm not having a tough time reading this. His main band in 2006.
If you're looking at the Wikipedia page, what I love is at the top of it, the Wikipedia page says, not be confused with American rock band Deer Hunter.
For the film.
See the deer. By the way, have you seen the film, The Deer Hunter?
I have not.
Oh, it's extraordinary. I don't know. One shot. One shot.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of those one shot?
One shot.
That's
no, not.
Oh, okay.
That's a line from it.
People
who have seen The Deer Hunter, you know what I'm talking about.
Please email us.
Yeah.
At Gmail. All right.
You know what this is?
Skipping ahead.
This is this.
For real, so please email us at no.your.writs.podcast@gmail.com.
Oh, you mother, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die. That's from Deer Hunter 2. Sorry.
Colton's threatening me right now.
It's the best Robert, the best performance.
Robert De Niro's in it, right?
Yeah, Robert De Niro does the best performance of like pure rage during a game of Russian roulette. I don't
know. I mean, I would be pretty pissed off if I was in that situation.
So now we have our categories. If you're new to this, everybody, to talk about The Deer Hunter, we have best song, worst song, overrated and underrated, the definitions of which Rob and I change every episode.
And in this episode especially.
Oh, it will change drastically.
Yeah.
We have best album and worst album.
Yeah. Have we covered why we're doing this? I think I've kind of alluded to it. I don't think
you've made the hit. It was a request. You were just talking about this is a request from our sister podcast host. I don't know how else to describe Danny, but.
I have you judging me, and then I have my Helga Pataki gum shrine that I've created for Danny. This joke is getting really old. I really got to stop saying that I'm like in love with Danny. Danny, I think you're cool. I think you're cool, but I really got to just put this like, I just want you to like me thing to bed. This is the episode. It's like, Danny,
well, maybe
I'm going to say some things that might hurt you a little bit. And just allow me to have the courage to do it.
I think we're all going to be good. If you're a fan of The Deer Hunter, if you don't even know who they are, everybody, let's just all join hands. We're all going to be okay.
Here's the thing is I've never been this unprepared going into it. Any of the artists that we've covered beforehand.
I don't know if I believe you. You're and I's default setting every episode is, what are we going to do? This is not great.
I get you. But this is the one where, like, literally, I had never heard anything. If I had, it was a friend putting it on for a moment back in 2007 to 2010.
Yeah.
I never actually put time into this band. So when I started listening to it, I think I told you, listening to Act One,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what the music was going to be because of those first two songs that kick it off. I mean, it starts with that like very chamber.
Not the best opening I would say. When I first started with that first track on what is it? The river. Oh my lord! It's already starting, everybody.
That's why I have to say Act One.
Yeah, I think Battissimo del Fuoco,
which I know it means something like born of fire.
Yeah, I think when you if you have nothing, you're going in cold with the Deer Hunter. My advice is skip tracks 1 and 2 of that record and go to 3. Yeah.
And 3
go back to 1 and 2.
3 is going to hit you because 3 starts on like bam, 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 bam,
bam. City Escape. Not bad. Yeah.
And the City Escape totally fits into the storyline where it's the mother of the protagonist. And that's what I actually wanted to say is I came into this just the same as the protagonist. I was a baby. So I am Hunter Terry.
That's me too. Yeah. Aren't we all Hunter Terry? As someone who has no idea who you're talking about.
That might give some beauty to the concept that they have here.
All right. So I think it's time for us to talk about best song. Would you like to go first, sir?
I guess you're skipping way far ahead on me. All right. Best song. This was really, really difficult because I didn't know how to approach this. Did I want to go with what I found to be the best song? Or after listening to everything, do I want to go with what I assume is the song?
What you call the Show the Alien song, which is, if you're unfamiliar, if an alien had no idea who this band was, they'd have a lot of questions. But what song would you show to the utmost definition of that band? I believe Kevin Devine came up with that.
Yes, Kevin Devine was. Yeah. He said that about Brothers Blood.
Friend of the pod, Kevin Devine. I'm helping you delay.
I know.
Because I know you're I'm trying to fill up space for everybody.
Can I just say this? I have a huge list for everybody.
Do you want me to give my best song?
No, I got it. A Night on the Town, I think, is that band. It is the quintessential. It gives across the biggest message. That chorus is wonderful. That line. It's like the chorus is epic. I think that even when it brings it back down later on, it still has enough that, because I mean, I remember when I was listening to that song the first time, at one point in time I look down and I see, you know, how much of that little like marker that shows you how far you are in the song. I was like, oh shit, they still got to cover another half of this. I don't know if you guys are going to be able to pull it off. They totally do.
I think we've talked about bands that dabble in like long songwriting, and not to pick at a recently healed scab, but if you listen to the previous episode, one of my biggest issues with Streetlight Manifesto is I did not feel like they exceeded. I'm putting this in nice terms. I'm no longer upset. They didn't succeed in my opinion on writing any song over 4 minutes.
I believe you were saying it was really awkward to have a song finish within the 5 minute range
for them, especially because there were so many parts that they had to do again. Like they had their verse, they had their pre-chorus, they had their chorus, they had their post-chorus, and then they had the verse again. And each one took they spent so many bars for each one. And that by the end of it, you just know they got to do it again. There's nothing new. Right. And with long songwriting, like bands we've discussed, like Coheed, I feel like Coheed's going to come up a lot because the Deer Hunter owes a lot, I think, to Coheed.
I agree.
I think
Coheed predated them.
I think I would almost imagine that it's when Coheed starts putting out those records and the concept becomes a thing. I don't want to say that Casey Crescendo, I never read an interview where he said that, but I think a lot of bands started to do that more after Coheed did it.
Yeah.
Coheed excels to me at long songwriting and their best sort of like, let's say like over 8 minute songs, because there are multiple parts, but it always feels like there's a cohesiveness, but there's always something new to justify the length, right? I like really long songwriting that does the same thing. I mean, like Goodbye Sky Harbor, I will sit and listen to that loop the whole way through. It's captivating, right? I totally agree with you that A Night on the Town goes so many cool directions. And it's one of those tracks where like I've been listening to this record at night, like going to bed with earphones on. And so I'm not even seeing the names of the songs, but twice now listening to this record, I had to stop to be like, what is this song? And it was always A Night on the Town, because it's the one that is just sonically so cool.
Yeah, I agree. And even when it hits the bridge, there's almost a Disney quality to that bridge. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, going out of that, it hits this like very Latin drum beat segment. But it didn't lose any ground. And like I said, when I was listening to it before, when we're hitting about halfway through the song, I was like, all right, this is probably going to peter off. It's not going to be good anymore. No, it maintained. It still conveyed a little bit of storyline. This is on album...
Act four.
Whereas this character now has gone through losing his mother, going and hooking up with somebody who's kind of like his mother. Prostitutes everybody. that's what the storyline is.
Just to be clear, that's what we mean by that.
Mom's prostitute, his first lover is a prostitute, and at this point in time, he's coming back from the Great War, World War One. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to feel a little more like he's...
Doesn't he steal the identity of his half-brother?
That's something that I haven't picked up necessarily in listening. I've read about it, but I haven't really heard it in the lyrics.
I'm personally. Outside of my own body. I don't know how I knew that. But I saw it. I think I saw it in the Wikipedia blurb where there's something to that effect. But
yeah, some story. He finds out who his father is, or he finds out a half-brother, all that. But it's just that song... I think it totally conveys. If you don't want to listen to the Deer Hunter, listen to that song. If you want to kind of have an idea, but you're not willing to dedicate the time that it does take to appreciate this band, listen to that song, and that'll tell you whether or not you want to listen to more.
Yeah, it is. I think also track to track, that you can kind of tell at the beginning of each track what lane they're going to be in. I always think with the Deer Hunter, what I've seen is, and again, we're speaking specifically about these five acts. I know there are records in between these that you and I didn't listen to.
Yeah. They have Migrant, and there's another one that a few people that I talked to were like, you should listen to that. And I'm like, well, fuck off. We're not.
Yeah. we are albums. Not machines.
Yeah.
But at least on these five, there are certain tracks where they have the kind of ragtime jazzy, mm-hmm. I keep using the band Panic at the Disco. I don't use that as a point of derision mostly.
But, I know.
But right. It is, very apropos. But they also have very Thrice or Circa-esque, more proggy kind of songs. They have I think later in more orchestral pieces. They are very musically diverse, but yeah. I also think a song like Night on the Town kind of pulls from everything in a cool way. It really does feel like I've used this term before, the thesis statement of the Deer Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah. And even when you were saying the ragtime, it's like I said before, this is all supposed to be early 1900s. Even a song that I really dig that almost snuck in as my favorite was 1878. And I'm like, yeah, that's the year.
Can but I that's say supposed something to be... about this?
Go ahead. No,
I think that's
actually,
a cop-out.
No, you can't.
I think you've said, and I know why you're saying, and I can totally see it. It's musically. I don't know.
You need to give me something better than I don't know.
I had the least amount of time for Ragtime Deer Hunter. I think there are parts of that element of the band in those songs. To me, they feel a little bit put upon. I think deeper into their records, deeper into the acts, I would say parts of three and then four, especially. Mm-hmm. I think they find interesting ways to integrate those kind of jazzier elements, the ragtime elements, right? That are period specific, you're talking about.
Yeah.
But every now and then there are songs that go really heavy on the ragtime. And to me, it just feels very performative in a way that it makes the songs hollow.
It's kind of the dangerous territory that they put themselves in, the story. So you have to kind of give that particular amount of dedication to it, because I agree, there are moments where you hear the barbershop quartet styles, I'm like, is this really necessary? Especially if you're gonna try to combine it with a modern, between 2007 to 2016 prog rock, with Barbershop Quartet, or sometimes, as I told you before, I hear a lot of Seal. I hear a lot of Seal sometimes.
It's, yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm already getting us dipping into negative, but can I talk about my best song? You could say no, I guess.
I would always want to say no.
But I don't know why I phrased it that way. It's funny ahead, enough, you're allowed. The song, thank you. Right before Night on the Town, which was close to my favorite,
it's not my favorite.
But what is your favorite?
Probably Waves.
Oh, I think we're already kind of hinting at our album.
let me put it this way. When it comes to best songs, I have The Tank, Waves, A Night on the Town, which I just felt like I had to say. The Line, again, it reminds me of Manchester Orchestra. Wait.
There are definitely Manchester Cascade vibes.
Light. Yeah, for sure.
The heavier parts get very...
Thank you for cutting me off, because like, I had that list was... I was only halfway through.
I wasn't sure when it was going to stop. So wait, let me... I think best song is Remembered. And that is right before Night on the Town. And I think it is, how I would put it, there's an element to his melody writing that I really like. And then other parts really frustrate me. Like, I think the Casey Crescendo has never met a shift from major to minor that he didn't want to take. It's something, it feels like he does it all the time. It really bugs me. But
Definitely a big fan of unorthodox chord progressions and like sneaking in a minor or sneaking in a major where you wouldn't expect it.
And I think that could be powerful. He does it a lot. But Remembered to
obnoxiously,
me.
Obnoxiously, yeah.
Yeah, the melody for Remembered is one of the best melodies I've heard in a long time. It's so beautiful. It's so small. And I think also, weirdly enough for me, I think when Deer Hunter...
3 minutes and 50 seconds.
No, I think when they think smaller in his arrangements, I think when he thinks smaller, to me, it works better. Like, and there are definitely like, I also think a lot of Danny Elfman in especially Act 4, like there are definite, like the way that the strings are working. It's such a delicate melody and it goes so many places. It's like ballerina-esque the way it kind of,
I totally agree. Yeah. It's another one of those, like, there needs to be a visual to it. That's the only reason why, because I think that song's beautiful, but I need a little bit of the, like you said, the ballerina. Like, there's kind of a visual element that's missing.
I in that song, I don't need that. The music to me evokes it. I don't. And there
were you falling asleep, and you were like in that little like middle between sleep and being awake state.
No, this was all this of a sudden was
you have Fantasia in your brain.
I'll put it this way: this is the only song where, when I heard Remembered, I was like, this song stands on its own. Like, I don't know what it does in the story. I don't care. Like, that, just to kind of put it bluntly for people listening, I care zero for elements of the story for lots of reasons. I just don't. But
which is like, this is the COVID affecting Colton. Like, he still has what is it called for after you have COVID?
The long
COVID. Yeah, this is the long COVID for Colton. He's like, I don't care about lyrics anymore.
Oh, I care about lyrics. I don't care about the story. That's the difference, right?
No.
That's the difference.
I mean, lyrics literally are, the lyrics are literally carrying on the story.
Okay, and that's kind of the problem. That's, okay. How do I put it? And let me stick with my positivity. Remembered is great to me because it sticks in its own. I don't, like in listening to it, I don't feel the stress of these lyrics trying to push something along. It feels like a rumination of something.
I agree. It's a very, I don't know if warm's the right word, but I don't know. It is a comforting song to listen to. It's soaring and it's like, there's peaceful. There's nothing that's a herky jerky behind it. It's very soothing.
And I think that to me is maybe what speaks the most. It feels maybe like a more mature version of what I've heard in the first three acts. And what I love when a song knows it has a like killer melody and it knows to keep using it, but at the right times, like when it comes in at the end and that really light sound, like, dun, 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 I'm like, yes, do it. That was such a perfect way to bring it back to end it. Ugh, I don't know. I love that song. That song I'm going to listen to again just because I think it's amazing. And that there are songs I like for this podcast, and I'm like, but I'm also not going to listen to it again. I don't have a
That's very true. Actually, the number one thing that I realized this today when I had an extra 2.5 hours, I have to listen to this band a little more because I can tell that I do like this. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be things that are going to slip through my fingers.
Yeah.
But so you like that song because it's 3 minutes and 50 seconds. I get it.
I do not want the book on this to be Colton hates long songs. First of all, I write long songs. I shouldn't always. I love long songs. You got to
remember, I didn't leave our last episode happy.
What is this? Is this you trying to get back?
This is me a little upset, going like,
I think long songs are great. When bands know how to write long songs, I think they can be great.
Streetlight did great.
Let's not do this. We don't have to do this. People didn't click on this episode. But if you're hearing this and you're like, what's this all about? Just scroll up. Streetlight Manifesto is right there.
Mm-hmm.
I am happy with what I said.
No, he's not.
I don't feel any ill will.
He needs to. Next episode, we're going to be doing Streetlight Reprise.
Can I say my worst song now?
Everyone
else is ready to move on, Rob. Are you ready to move
everybody
on?
Everybody is ready to move on. Give me one. I swear, I'm literally going to leave the room, come right back. All right, let's get negative.
All right. So I told you before I was making eyes at you as you were talking before the break. Mm-hmm. You were just talking to me about the story is the lyrics, right? And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I think when this band is at its worst, and in terms of lyrics, I think Casey Crescendo is okay. I don't think he's great, but I also think he has some moments that work really nicely.
I think
some elements are really overwritten. The thing that I think about his lyrics that frustrates me is they're not punchy. They don't punch. They are like sometimes overly eloquent, right? Because I think he's trying to evoke that very novelistic kind of writing.
I get you. Yeah.
I think he's not great at hooks. For the most part, there are some I think work really great. I think what I've said before.
I just
about
pointed at
like,
him, by the way, everybody. I gave him the little like, yep, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
I think a band I've talked about before, Milk Carton Kids, where something that bugs me about their lyric writing is there are songs they have about people that feel real, and there are songs about scenery where the lyrics are just a conveyance of the melody and the lyrics don't really do much. There's nothing in the lyrics that are there to grab onto, right? And really hold on.
I get what you mean. Like there's a lyric that you just hold on to and that can almost narrate the rest of the song for yourself.
Yeah. And I think a band we just recently discussed, Vendetta Red, you know, I think Zach Davidson can be hit or miss sometimes with lyrics, but he does know how to write a line that you will stop and pay attention to. And it's saying something. Like it says something. I think the worst song for me is The Haves Have Not, because that is when they are so on the wrong side of this being a musical and it being a not good musical, like a bad one.
Yeah.
Like when if you were watching in a show, you go, no.
I think I would be okay with it if there was a stage performance. I know I'm like just being redundant when I say that, but that's the reason why that song doesn't function for me. To me, it's written like it's supposed to be. It's like I love Little Shop of Horrors, and I can listen to those songs all day long for sure. But if the only thing I ever had to appreciate those songs was just the audio,
I think there is an element to like musical songwriting that I always really appreciate, which is those guys are so good at writing like that quote unquote catchy like earworm. It's the hook, right? Mm-hmm. There's an element to that songwriting that's really based in wordplay. And Casey Crescendo doesn't really have that. And I don't, this song
Wait,
specifically,
who are those guys?
Those guys are people who wrote like the Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay.
Like, Wicked, like musical songwriters. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like the really good, I mean, Stephen Sondheim.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly who I was about to bring up.
Is a big one I think of a lot. So I think... The one, it's funny enough, right before that, Mr. Usher on his way to town, Both of those represent to me this kind of vaudevillian thing. And that is just not the business for the deer hunter. At least I don't think so. And I enjoy the play of it
quite a bit,
but neither of them, they work on either level, like it trying to be a musical, but also they are, to me, feels like they're trying to satirize musicals while also evoke them. They're making it overly effusive. That guest vocalist on The Haves Have Not, I know it's a guest vocalist, has to be.
It is, and I wasn't able to find it. I was trying to look it
Gavin
up.
Gavin something. Everyone, we apologize. We're trying to find that.
Danny, shoot us another email. I know please, you know our out. Email.
What do you think about Casey Crescendo as a vocalist?
He's got a little bit of the chameleon thing. This has actually kind of been a theme for almost 2 months now. He's got a unique voice, but there are moments to where I feel like he's trying to be something he's not.
I think that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, because he clearly this guy can sing, but there are moments where I feel like he may have said, give me one more take. I'm putting way too many words in his mouth when I say this, when it's like, give me one more take. I didn't sound enough like blank.
Like a singer, like a,
like some popular artist at that particular time.
He does a kind of pop infliction, a kind of, I've called it before to you, a croon that he does. Yes. It's not, it's like a jazz singer-esque attempt at something.
When you said croon, yes, I'm doing this again. When we talked a few days ago, I didn't completely agree, but you brought up my least favorite song. Mr. Usher it's a novelty and a shame. It's a shame on this album. And I know I told you there was another song I was thinking of, but King of Swords is no longer my, I actually think that song is utilized in
grew to appreciate the King of Swords.
I think it's executed pretty well.
I think we were both initially like, oh, what is this? Like, I thought of, for anyone who's familiar with My Morning Jacket, Highly Suspicious, like the song that comes so far out of left field for a band, mm-hmm. especially in a record that has never touched. I mean, how would you describe King of Swords, man? Like 80s?
A little like dancey. Synth-y, yeah. Like, yeah, a very synth quality to it. I don't want to say disco, but kind of almost encroaching. I would say this much, like when it first starts, it feels a little Lady Gaga.
I was going to say Peter Gabriel. Like weird Peter Gabriel.
What's the difference, right?
What is the difference? I don't know at this point.
But when it...
We just made somebody very upset. What are you talking about?
Probably Danny. But with Mr. Usher, it's like this weird zoot suit thing. And it feels like it's more of him doing a vocal exercise. And I highly doubt the rest of the band is involved with the orchestration behind it.
I don't know what the process of that is. But.
Yeah, when I listen to that song, it just feels like it's like, we're just trying to do... What's the name of that band? The Brian Seltzer or Brian something Orchestra?
Man, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but you don't know who I'm talking about at all?
I don't know, no. The Brian Seltzer Orchestra?
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of that, to where I'm like, you're just trying on a new outfit. It's almost what occurred with King of Swords, where it's like, that was jarring.
And don't you think, when we talked about the Decemberists, this is again where we both thought like records like The Hazards of Love falter, is mm-hmm. It leans too far into the story element, which if you're someone like me, isn't something that's ever going to work. And then they actually then start to infect what I think is like the strength of this band, which is the way the band plays together and the way that they're able to evoke these really kind of cool moments with the instruments that they have and some strings and things. But then it becomes like they're pantomiming.
I'm not sure if this is the point in the storyline in which he's like running for office or something along those lines, because I know that's supposed to be something that occurred from a very limited knowledge and a very, you know, like
Deer Hunter fans are like, what? Yes, no.
Yeah, but it's like a knee jerk. This is a knee jerk reaction to what I've only read over the last few days. But I'm pretty sure at this point in time, the protagonist, Hunter, is running for office now. He's beyond, you know, all the things that he's grown up with that have been difficult for him, you know, losing his mom and then fucking somebody who's kind of like his mom and then going to war and then coming back and thinking that he's he's completely healed, and then now he's just like, okay, now I feel I can represent people. I can see how it would fit based off of that. It's like, oh, now you're like shitty music because you're a shitty person.
Maybe it's as simple as that. I don't know.
I like to believe that's the case, as to where at this point he's just kind of like, yeah, you know what? I got riches, so this is why it's all dance music, cocaine music.
Just to make it clear, everyone, Rob and I did not plan for our best and worst songs to be right before each other. That's just the weird. We've done this podcast long enough to where I just think our brains are on some kind of strange wavelength.
I think we come from a particular ilk, because messaging Max, who was a guest a few episodes ago, the songs he was bringing up to me, I had to take screenshots of my notes going like, man, we're not that far off.
Yes.
Not that far. And well, he's a big Deer Hunter fan.
Let's see.
Hunter. Jeez.
You know what?
It's weird.
We have
to drop in the. The is the when you say it audibly. You have to say the.
Knowing that the main character's name is Hunter, and it's like the deer, that annoys me a little bit, but I'm getting past it. I'm okay. But
he's annoyed. Looking for love.
Oh, Jesus, man.
It's true. It's
you
true.
Keep
within
pushing
the
me on the
storyline.
Story, eventually,
within
I'm going to say something it's true. Mean. I'm going to say something mean. It's going to upset a lot of people.
This is what I'm... Colton can see the image of me. Do I not look like a lazy fisherman right now?
Oh, you're loving it though. You know what my buttons are.
I'm reeling you in.
Push. It's the story, bro. Don't you get it? All right. What underrated? I'll go ahead and look at you, buddy. I love you.
I love you too.
Underrated for us, of course, is always weird. I think for me, the way I approach this is my experience initially with songs and then coming back to it. There are two that I have. One is The Tank. I was hard on The Tank. Mm. I think initially, I mean, that record 3 overall didn't hit me well. I think part of it is like that war theme, right? The Great War. And I think it was I don't know, as a World War I concept record with like, I know other things happening. Just, I don't know, something about the way that they were talking about war, it was all very like war as hell. And The Tank to me kind of just worked that way. I did not like the lyrics. Again, I felt they were like way too into, it really does feel like it's about a tank. And I think it is supposed to be about other things. Yeah. But when a song is just about the thing that it's about, I find that to be like not very inventive. When I listen to it again, I still have issues with the lyrics, although I think they are figurative, right? As much as there are anything else. Mm-hmm. I think the music actually is better. I think as I looked at it again, I think the music rips. I think when they are a rock band, like sometimes I just want them to be a rock band and like do cool stuff that are like thrice circa-esque, right? Mm-hmm. But they also have these other cool elements to them and they use strings nicely. That's hard to do, right? We've heard about like Manchester Orchestra. When they got an orchestra, man, they should, like, in simple math, I'm like, oof, the strings don't work with a lot of these.
It becomes a little overshadowing on the song.
Yeah, and it pummels you. So that, I actually came to appreciate The Tank a lot. The other one, though, was The Old Haunt.
Okay, I mean, give me a chance to, like, cook on some of this. Like,
you want to cook?
I just wanted to say with The Tank, I think that song starts off with, like, such a, something that I think you wouldn't like. Because it has a little bit of like kind of the creepier like vibe to it, and when it hits that chorus, how it opens up into such a beautiful melody, I think that's the quality to me behind the song, where I'm kind of on your side, where the lyrics be damned, this just sounds great.
I know, and that makes my skin crawl when I think of it, because I also had to damn the lyrics.
Here's to the dark side.
This is where I have to do something not nice. This is the kind of band where I have to not think about the lyrics, because then I'll probably not like a lot of things.
I actually think at the long haul you would like a decent amount, but it would just take so much more time. And we were into this band, it would go so much further.
Okay, here's where I have to say the thing that you want me to say.
What do I want you to say, Cole?
I think getting over obsessed with the details of the story, I think it, in a lyric writing capacity, mm-hmm. I think it's also an excuse for lyrics that aren't really tightly constructed.
Gotcha.
I think that it shields it because people can get obsessed with the details of things. That's my problem with a lot of art, though. Not like this is not a Colton problem with the Deer Hunter. This is a Colton problem with capital C culture, where people are really like, oh, like what happens at this point in like this episode of things? And it's like anti-intellectual in a way that I'm like, man, like art used to be figurative. We used to think about like not what element in the plot this thing is, but like what are like the emotions behind a piece of music. And I think that's where sometimes the Deer Hunter gets me. But if I turn that switch off, mm-hmm. I can enjoy a song like The Tank.
And I think most people should turn that switch off, because I think when it comes to analyzing art, there has to be just the knee-jerk reaction. It just has to be like what hits you immediately. And it's sometimes, Colton, if you overanalyze lyrics, you might miss something that's even better than the lyrics.
I have a devotion to the word, man.
Not in this instance.
The word is the bird. Well, yeah, funny enough, the tank is the bird. Or the old haunt, which, again, I think the old haunt, I said before, I didn't think Casey could craft a good hook. And it's far too many ways to die in there.
Yeah.
It bothered me a little bit, like the die and try, the way he's trying to collecting it. But then I heard it again. I was like, you know what? This is them giving me what I wanted. It works.
And on top of that, even lyrically, he kind of flips that rhyme scheme the second time around.
A little.
Yeah. And but that's the thing, is when you say a little, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't go over the top with switching that rhyme scheme.
No.
But it's just enough clever and not overwhelming, and it's not trying to take away from the rest of the song. Mm-hmm. It's just enough to make it right.
And I said before, like, this sometimes the lyrics to me kind of fade into the background because they're overly like authorial. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a song where it feels like a song. And yeah. So The Tank and The Old Haunt are, I like them a lot now.
Yeah.
Sir,
good
underrated.
Choices. Well, I couldn't go with underrated because who the fuck am I? I don't know anything about this band. So I clearly went the underappreciated route, and man, I have a list here. Which one did I settle on? That's a long list, everybody.
I'm not sure when you and I both started to say, you know what, instead of just the one choice for each, let's both just choose as many as we can.
I mean, when I say I got a lot, I got...
How about two? Because I did two.
I don't even want to... Okay, fine. The Bittersweet Three, I thought was incredible. Embrace. I felt like the musical depiction of a love felt, but unrequited by, and this is where he gets a little annoying sometimes with the lyrics, by misleading. Good one.
You know, okay. I literally just realized that.
Yeah.
That's now my least favorite album.
Misleading.
That's so dumb.
That's well, and his mom's name is Miss Terry. Mystery.
Oh, God. I didn't catch any of these. I hate it.
Yeah, those are some tough ones.
Mm.
But the music. Oh, if anybody is not familiar with this podcast, that is me doing some read with arms wide open. Just I feel it. It's so good.
When Rob hits a moment of euphoria with a piece of music.
I love those moments in which the music is just like, it's so epic and kind of just this sway into a bigger moment.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier when you can find that way to make it that dramatic. And that's what that moment is. And that is the moment that he has with misleading, you know, to where in the character's mind, the emotion that's felt within that vocal melody is like him thinking that he fell in love. You know, that's him falling in love with the prostitute that is like really just there to get her money, but he felt love. Yeah.
The only thing worse than this is when Yellow Card did their awful concept record and their main character's name was Hollywood. That's the worst.
No, the other thing that's worse than that is Molly by Colton Saylor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which... When people choose the wrong name, it's very upsetting, right?
Oh, Lord. All right. I like that.
So, yeah, that would definitely be my favorite, my underrated or underappreciated, because mm-hmm. it has this emotional value to it, and I do think it fits very well within the storyline. Like, that's what makes it underappreciated to me, because it's actually a really good song to continue the story.
And that is, I think, here's where I, like, totally recognize, like, I hope that people are listening to us right now aren't like, man, what's this dude's problem? Like, that's the whole point. I get it. And I've been that person. Again, yeah. I have been that person. I know what that is. I think in certain ways, that's just not what I'm looking for with music anymore. And I think there are people like me who feel that way. So I got to speak for those people.
You talk to your very small following. Your constituents.
I got to speak for them.
Smiling Swine would probably be my other one. Because I just think that, like, but all the while... I think that's cool, and he rips off ELO. He rips off a little bit of the Beatles within that. And at first, I thought I wouldn't like that, but again, when it hits that, but all the while hook, that's where I'm like, story be damned, I don't care. That's just good.
Mm.
Do you know what?
I do remember that. Yeah, hear me again. Okay. I want to listen one more time. Oh, sorry, Salman Rushdie's telling me why we need stories.
Salman Rushdie. Wasn't he the one who, like, got a lot of threats for, like, what was it, like, the Satanic Bible
in the eye?
Yeah,
Satanic Verses.
Yeah, Satanic Verses. I love you.
This is a ripoff of ELO.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, right away. And then even
Mr.
like
Mr. Blue Sky, please.
Yeah, Mr. Blue Sky. and then even at the when the vocals kick in, the lyrics, I'm going like, oh, that's a little bit of Day in the Life of the Paul McCartney section.
Yeah, this
But
when this is it hits, almost on the wrong side to me of but I get it.
I agree. But when it hits the all the while moment, I'm like, that's cool. That doesn't remind me of anybody else. That just makes me feel good. It's a cool harmony a cool melody.
Yeah. Oh man. So wait, now we are into overrated, which I think for us again is going to be tricky.
Not for me.
Oh, you got it. You're locked and loaded. You're loaded for bear. Go for it, buddy.
Oh, I took the easy way out.
The confidence.
I took the easy way out on this one. This was a very difficult band to do any of these categories, but Go Get Your Gun has
it
has 6 million fucking listens.
Are you kidding?
6 million.
Six.
And compared to the other songs, not even close.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I really didn't like Record 3 is that song specifically.
Yeah. That song's, I'm going back into the Know Your Rights nomenclature. Nothing burger. And I get that album's about him going to war. The Go Get Your Gun, let's see what it can do. The fuck? Like, everybody knows what a gun can do. I don't know. It's
shoot, 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 shoot.
Exactly.
As an anti-war record, this record fails. It's I think it's trying to say things about war and conflict that I can see, but they feel really simplistic and very, like, I don't know. Also, like, weirdly playful. Like, I don't know. When I think of, like, images of World War I, like, it's, like, the most horrific fighting imaginable. Like, just the level of carnage that war represents. Oh, it's
god-awful. Yeah, the trench warfare is disgusting.
It's like, gotta get your gun, shoot, 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 shoot. That's not great. That's really bad.
It's one of those, like, war vets, if they watch the Broadway performance and seeing people like, gotta get your gun.
Almost on par. I think Emotive is still the worst anti-war record I've ever heard.
That's just because the music is some of the worst music you've ever
heard. Of course it was. Yeah.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with the anti-war aspect to it.
No, to well, me at least. The fact, like, that it was, no, I would disagree. I would say, by the way, everybody, we're talking about A Perfect Circle, the Emotive, the yes. worst record we've done on this Please. Podcast.
Yeah. United. Yeah, that's close. That's close. Yeah. It's definitely one of the
fact that
out
it was
of
really
three at best.
Yeah, the fact that it was only created because they wanted to create an anti-war message.
Well, hey, Maynard said this has nothing to do with the election coming
You're up. You're lying, Maynard. You're lying. Dude, I'm rubbing my temples right now.
Don't worry, listener. I am not just trying to be a dick to Colton. I'm essentially agreeing with him.
This is, we'll never be over that record. It'll always haunt
I'll never podcast. Be over how much Maynard let me down. So,
all right. Well, just to keep that along, the pimp and the priest is my overrated, because I did notice, I like to go through, I'm just interested, like go to the source, like see what Deer Hunter fans, the Deer Hunter fans, like appreciate, and what are the like top five favorites. And I'm always interested. Something that I thought was cool is Night on the Town is almost consistently one of the top songs for people, which makes sense, right? The other one I kept seeing, though, bits and bits, was The Pimp and the Priest. And I believe this is, hey, you're going to be proud of me. I think The Pimp and the Priest, isn't that the villain of this story?
It's one person, yes.
It is one person.
Yes, because The Pimp and the Priest is basically, he's a priest by day and a pimp by night. And that's where he runs the dime, which is the store.
That's the
store.
The brothel.
Yeah, the brothel.
Let's go to the prostitute store.
That's what Mystery, or Mystery, as I've unfortunately uncovered for you.
The elements of this like sequence of records that I find the least compelling are ones where it feels like it's trying to say something, like some kind of societal critique. Mm-hmm. Along with this narrative, I think that was my issue with that life and death record. I think like the kind of like religion prostitution like thing, I mean that's right up my alley, and yet it's done in such a blunt way that I'm just kind of and it's also very like 2000s way. That's the most Panic at the Disco I think they've gotten.
I just can't see the Panic at the Disco.
Oh my God.
Outside of the ragtime thing, I guess I hear
it. It's the melody. It's the. It's the singing.
There's a little bit of the saloon.
Here's what I'm going to say. If you like the Deer Hunter, you like Panic at the Disco. And if you're like, no, I don't, come on.
Danny, please email
my guys. Come on.
Danny, Max, please email us and let us know what your opinions are.
Come on.
Panic at the Disco.
And by the way, I don't hate Panic at the Disco. I don't know.
I've definitely enjoyed songs by him. That's okay.
Anywho, I find The Pip and the Priest to be not awful, but meh.
Well, we continued our fashion of over, or what? Which one are we on? Underappreciated? Underrated?
Overrated.
Overrated. Yeah, overrated doesn't mean worse, but it might mean worse.
In this case, not worse, but yeah.
All right. So.
We got to get back on track. Wait,
sorry, everybody. Like Colton said, we're getting close to his bedtime.
Luckily, I think a lot of this will not make it to the podcast. This, by the way, I've been really trusting you because you've done such a great job with editing. Nice. I'm going to listen to this one before it goes up minute to minute.
I hate there to break this to you.
I just don't think should go in.
I hit record. You didn't.
I know, but so you still have to send it to me to upload.
Not necessarily. Now I know how to do all of this.
Okay. Moving on. Best album, everybody. I don't think this is going to be a mystery.
No, for me, it's four.
It's four. Four.
Yeah.
I think we both agree. Do we have similar reasons? I just think musically, I love where they kind of step out of that like age specific thing. They still use strings. They still use horns and stuff. I think the way he uses them in that record are so much cooler. It feels more, there's a kind of like score, like kind of classical mentality to the way they do it. And I think the songwriting, again, I don't know like story-wise what's happening there, but I think it's the best marriage of those kind of like more ambitious, like string section, huge musical score things that he wants to do. But also it's sometimes just them being a great rock band.
It was the only album that the first listen through, I could tell I really liked stuff when it came to all five of them. And not saying that everything else was bad, but maybe I should rephrase it to where things really stood out to me on this particular album. Like listening to Waves incredible. A Night on the Town definitely was a big one. Like you said, Remembered is really good. The Old Hunt. Mm-hmm. Is anybody here has like the first guitar solo that I hear?
Yeah.
That was cool as fuck. And yeah, like Squeaky Wheel, freaking. And it even has King of Swords. It has that, and I still am like, no, I can dig. I don't know how to say it, but Ouroboros.
Yeah, Ouroboros, yeah. I think the word that comes to mind for me is organic.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like there's not that kind of put-upon mentality that I think some of the weaker records have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think start to finish, it's actually really, really good. And so, like you said, I even appreciate King of Swords more than I used to.
Yeah, it has a feel to it that none of the other ones had. I think you kind of nailed it to where, while it is a concept album, you can just listen to it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be listening within the concept. And some of the other stuff, you kind of have to listen to it with the thought in the back of your mind that this is a story.
I don't think I know where we're going with worst in this one. I know what I have. I like the game I play as we record each episode is where you're going to land with best and worst album. And I don't actually know.
My prediction is we're going to say the same one. Do you want to say it? Do we want to try? It's been a while.
Okay, we're going to do 3-2-1. Rob knows I love a good 3-2-1.
Well, you're the one who retired it, but why not?
I thought I overused it. I get so excited. Okay. 3-2-1. Act 5.
Three. Oh! Out of my two choices, it would have been 3 or 5.
And 3 was close, and then I listened to 5 again. I've already kind of... The reasons I've alluded to my worst song, The Haves Have Nots, I hate that title, by the way. When I think about it too much, I get
it's, upset it's, again. It's, if it would have just been N.O.T., I'm sure you would have been fine.
I think the... After listening to Act 4, I was so excited for Act 5 because I was like, I feel like he unlocked it. Like the key is turned. I'm so interested in what they're going to do. And like, that's something about this podcast I love is when you listen to a discography and knowing there are some records in between this, of course, but it's so cool to get the chance to be like, okay, I am going to listen to years and years sometimes, like a decade of evolution with these musicians and what they're going to do from album to album. And I found 5 to be a regression. Like, I think if anything, they doubled down on the kind of more musical aspect of what they wanted to
do. You know what the opening title is? What the opening song is called?
Regress. I did catch that. And I thought, ooh, it's not a good start. I just think it's a bummer. It's hard for me to, and I think there are some things that I'm complaining a lot. That's just what I do. I think every song I've heard from them, I find something to like.
Yeah.
Like every song I've heard of the Deer Hunter, there's something where I think that's cool.
I think you might have turned me on this because this has two songs I don't like. I don't like The Flame I don't like The Fire.
I don't like Blood. Blood is rough.
Yeah,
I don't like Light. Light is one of
I think Light, if it was done, I sent you that text. I think if Light was done by the Milk Carton Kids, that'd be a great song. I do think that. I stand by that. It's playing in the background right now, everybody. Just think.
So help me. If I remember, if this is true, that song was written because did Casey Crescenzo have a son?
No, definitely not.
He has no children.
Don't worry about that, Colton. Do not.
If he had a son, I know, and then he's like, and now my character is going to have a son. I'm going to write a song about having a son, but it's about the character.
I so badly want you and Casey, your wife, to have a kid because you're going to write a song about
I'll never write a song about that child.
You would do it.
They'd ask me, like, are you going to write a song? I'm like, no, because that's.
Who's they? Me?
The child, the kid.
Oh, okay. The kid.
I'll write a song about you.
And I'm going to consider it a song about your baby.
I don't know. Again.
I think you got me on this one. While Act 3 has the least memorable songs to me, I think you're right. I think on Act 5, it has the most bad songs.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. Here's something I'm going to say before we go into our, I'm assuming we're going to commercial break.
We'll go to commercial break.
I think we've done enough talking. Danny, I'm throwing out this invitation to you. this is supposed to be, it is supposed to go to Act 6. And Act 6 is not out. Colton, quit just staring.
I are you waiting for him to respond? I'm waiting to hear what you're going to say.
Okay. All right. It's late. So the Deer Hunter, this is supposed to be a six-act story.
Right. And this, yeah, that's the completion is Act 6.
Yeah. But it's not out yet. So, mm-hmm. Danny, if Act 6 comes out, I'm extending the invitation. I'm sure Colton is cool with that.
Of course.
Let's do an episode. Like, come on, be a guest, and we could talk about Act 6, and probably you could just berate the hell out of us for how wrong we've gotten all of this.
I'm totally game, and I will sit and listen to every part of the story and go, oh my God, that's it.
Or we just talk about
that changes
the album.
Everything.
We can talk about that one particular album. Jesus Christ. All right,
when we get back from
speaking of you, Danny.
We're going to give our very important rankings, which I know everyone worries about and talks about. We'll do that after the break, everybody.
Yes.
All right. Are we ready to end it? I'm ready to go.
I'm not ready to end it. And I think you know why.
Okay. I do have to go soon.
I know. I'll be fast.
Okay. You said that and then you just sat there.
I just want a reaction. Jesus. All right. I'm moving.
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast.
That's one of the worst coming back from commercials we've ever
had. Let's do it again.
All right.
Welcome back.
Yes.
We're going to give our ratings out of 10, which I know everybody's always very excited about.
Yes. Our good friend Casey
has kept track of all of them, and which is good because I've forgotten every rating I've given on this show. Yeah. They're extremely arbitrary, but nice to kind of get a feel for each other.
It does. It keeps me a little grounded. And
it is helpful. And it's also like a fun exercise to kind of put bands next to each other where usually they don't go. I think you'll be surprised. I don't know. I'm going to go first. I usually make you go first because I'm trying to figure out how nice or mean I want to be.
I'm your barometer when it comes to this.
Well, I always go by the Weezer line. That's my North Star for this podcast. People who've listened to this podcast know what I'm talking about. It's basically Weezer is a 5 out of 10 band. And
for Colton.
For if it's not objective, I don't know what's objective anymore.
I agree. Six.
Oh, you're right. Okay. 5 out of 10 band, which means to me they are capable of so many great things, but also have been really atrocious. At different points, it balances, right? There's a balance to Weezer. They are everything. They are nothing. The Deer Hunter is over the Weezer line. And there's some really cool things. I also, knowing the bands that they are pulling from, right? I said before, there are bits of the Decemberists. I hear a lot of course, there's Coheed and Cambria, bits of Circus Survive. Saying they're
Thrice,
a little bit like Thrice
ELO.
Made me like them a little less. But well, that's a Thrice episode for the future.
It's coming eventually, everybody.
6.5 out of 10.
Okay. That sounds about right for Colton's negative S. So Colton has his Weezer line, and I've said before that I have my, like, 7 means you're a good band.
Yeah.
If I hit 7, then we're in good territory. That means that I very much so enjoyed the listening experience. I'm going to compensate for having not taken them serious when we were younger. So I'm going to add in an imaginary nostalgia factor. I was going to go 7, but I'm going to give them 7.5 because I very much so enjoyed listening to them. I gave Coheed an 8. Thank you, Miller. I think 7.5 could potentially grow from a few more listens. The difficult part right now is that nothing was enough of an earworm for me to, you know, just hum to myself casually.
It's a lot. We said this before, it's very deep text.
It's and, they're not a band to listen to the way that Colton and I just listened to them.
Yeah, I and there's yeah this podcast format does not always hold up for different artists, which is why we've tried to take less albums at a time. Mm-hmm. But even so, what I would love to do and what I will do for sure is I want to listen to the non-concept the Deer Hunter records.
That's in the future for sure.
I would be interested to, just on my own at least. I don't usually commit to listening to bands after we talk about them. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see if the concept is something that they need or if it's something that they don't need.
No matter what, I can hear the talent behind the band. We didn't discuss that much about additional musicians. I don't know if it's a revolving door, but
it's pretty revolving. It's
probably
it does strike me that former way. Lists on Wikipedia is I the reason I didn't at least is in looking at it I went oof I can't I got no
it's a little tough. Something that I do admire behind the Deer Hunter is the ambition behind the project. Mm-hmm. And that's where as a new listener there's only so much I can pay attention to within 2 weeks.
Yeah. And that is something to in all of the things that I was trying to think through. And I just love talking about them with you, right? No matter what.
Yeah.
I'm always going to appreciate ambition and vision. Like when a band has a vision, I might not always agree with where they're going to get with it. And I might not vibe with all the songs, but I am always going to be on the side of intent and wanting your music to do a thing versus, like, of course, bland commercialism. And, like, nothing about the Deer Hunter is made to sell records.
I agree.
The opposite. And
I think there's a lot of integrity behind this
it's band. Maybe one of the least marketable concepts I could think of in the best way possible.
It's funny you say in the best way possible because I'm like, it sounded pejorative to me.
I didn't mean it that way. I know.
But overall, Danny, thank you so much. I'm really happy that I got to listen to this band, and I look forward to giving it a few more listens in the future. But what I look forward to more is something we haven't done in a while.
You have no idea what I'm going to choose.
It's been a while. We've done two episodes of requests. Mm-hmm. This is the first time in quite a while.
We used to be able to surprise each other and make the other person guess what is our next artist. And this is, I'm going to give you a double thing. There's an extra element to this.
Oh, shit.
It's a choose your own adventure because two bands locked and loaded.
You're R.L. Steining me right now?
I'm R.L. Steining you right now.
Oh, God.
I need to check the waters with my friend Rob. I got one where I think they're pretty damn great, and I don't think you know this band very well.
I probably won't choose this one,
though. I got another band where I would say it's pretty in both our wheelhouse. There's some nostalgia attached. There's some covering of songs attached.
Oh, dear God. I'm checking your vibe. I need something a little easier.
We're going nostalgia. We're going like early band that we used to cover. All right. Then here we go. Okay. All right. I should have prepared for this. 152.
That sounds really familiar. All right. Give me another one.
Okay. Friends.
Fuck. This sounds really familiar. I can't look at my phone. I can't cheat.
Decade.
All right. So we're doing Taking Back Sunday.
The first four records.
Okay.
There are eight Taking Back Sunday records.
We're not doing all eight.
Not doing eight. We're going to do the first four. I caught a little hitch in your tone there. This is interesting. So it's going to be Tell All Your Friends, Where You Want to Be, Louder Now, and New Again.
All right.
So that stretches from 2002 to 2009. To be honest, with how many things happen in that span of time, those 7 years, it's crazy to think that it's only 7 years.
That is actually wild.
And a lot happens, and it is wild. And we're going to have some old friends returning, right? Someone from Face in New York.
That is kind of essentially why I sigh when I think of Taking Back Sunday. I'm like, you ruined Face in New York.
We have a lot to talk about with this band. I think there's going to be some highs. I am bracing for some of the lows.
Here's the plus side is the Wikipedia will have a lot to tell us. We've done way too many artists or the Wikipedia does not tell us that much. This is a very popular band. I like it.
All right. This will be good, everybody. We're going to talk about Take Back Sunday. Just the first four records, if you listen along, which, I mean, please do. You're always invited. But, buddy, I love talking about Deer Hunter with you.
I love you, too. And, Danny, I just want you to like me. I hope I didn't upset you.
I don't want to be... I didn't say I love you. I'd say I love talking about Matthew. But I also do love you.
The fuck?
Jesus. Bye, everyone.